Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. We've just heard the opening theme to one of Robert Schumann's greatest works for piano, Carnival, performed, however, by the Canadian Brass. We're delighted to have with us today one of the finest ensembles of brass players in the world, the Canadian Brass. They have been appearing on Crossover through the years, and they have just released a new album, and we'll be speaking with Chuck Dallenbach. Welcome back, Chuck. What is your actual title in regard to the Canadian Brass? Do you have a title?
Well, I guess if there was one, it would be founder and tuba player.
Yes, you have been for how many years now?
1970 was our starting year.
Starting year, and you have evolved into really, well, you always were marvelous, but you really have changed your style, I think. Although I had never seen you in person, I know that you used to appear on stage in some rather interesting get-ups, and you would do all kinds of funny things. And that was the way we always thought about Canadian Brass. But now you've really graduated into some elegant performances. So tell us a little bit about, are there changes, and how does that come about, and why did you choose to do this amazing new album?
Well, first of all, you're saying that is I really appreciate that, because I know that you are really tuned into this genre, and the fact that brass, in a sense, is coming of age, and you're absolutely right. I think to attract audiences, we were very aware of the programming that we did, the kind of music that we put together. We always wanted to play Bach, we always wanted to play Vivaldi, and we mixed it with early jazz and a Carmen opera here and there, that sort of thing. But meanwhile, we always had our eye on the ball, which was advancing the art form. Brass was a second cousin to string quartets. And to break through that really was an effort of always kind of approaching music like a string quartet would, and picking music that would somehow be at a deeper level, take brass to new levels, try to change the perception, I guess, of the listener from brass as a fanfare instrument only to really being a musical vehicle.
Or being funny. I think people kind of that didn't know much about brass instruments, kind of there was a, you could be funny, you know, playing the brass instrument. And then I think you kind of capitalized on that for a while, especially with the tuba, I would imagine.
Well, tuba is not the most usual, you know, people spending their life putting their lips on a metal mouthpiece playing a tuba is a little strange, so I recognize that. I'm willing to accept that.
But you get a gorgeous sound out of it, and I don't think people really appreciate it.
Thank you.
From Robert Schumann's Carnival, we heard the opening section, Pierrot, Arlequin, and Valse Noble, performed by the Canadian Brass. I think it's important to note that transcribing works for different instruments is not new territory, but the Canadian Brass has taken a work for piano and arranged it for an entirely different type of instrument, not even a keyboard instrument. And they have to understand how the instruments are played and what level of virtuosity is required to get the result. In this case, credit is given for adapting the work to brass instruments to Chris Coletti and Brandon Ridenour. Both of these wonderful musicians are trumpet players. They play various kinds of trumpet as well, the E-flat trumpet, the B-flat, the piccolo trumpet, and the flugelhorn. And they are responsible for this transcription, which is very, very involved. Now, the other thing is that all of you play gold instruments. That's really quite fascinating.
That was a joint effort. We worked with an American scientist. He'd been the principal trumpet of the Chicago Symphony, but he was also a very important scientist working with Fermilab in Chicago and so forth. And it was his dream to have a set of brass instruments all designed and fabricated by one maker, and in this case himself. Reynold Schilke was his name. And the idea of Stradivarius and Guarnerius, for example, making a set of instruments. We had a complete set of instruments, and then as the crowning achievement, he gold-plated them to make it a unit. And that has sort of become a trademark of Canadian brass.
Well, gold is not really as good as brass, is it, to get the sound, the resonance? I would think that there's a difference in the makeup of the metal.
Well, they never actually let us have solid gold instruments. Those would have been, I'm afraid it would have been out of the price range. But what it is brass, and then highly polished, silver-plated, and then gold on top of silver. So it's a plating, very thin, less than a human hair in thickness, for sure. And that coating adds another kind of resonance to the instrument. You can play a little softer. You can play just a touch louder without losing the core, the beautiful sound.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, because when I read that before, I know they have gold flutes, and I think...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know actually... James Galway, I had interviewed
Jimmy
him.
Galway, yeah.
He has one with diamonds, too. So.
Lucky Jimmy Galway. They gave him a gold flute. They never gave me a gold tuba.
Well, or diamonds in it as well. So you have something to aspire to. Huh?
Exactly.
So now, this is, I have to tell you, this is so magnificently played, your ensemble, and also the quality of the sound is breathtaking in the Schumann. Oh. I really, and there's so many things to ask you about. First of all, it's a demanding work for piano. So you had to get someone to arrange it as well. How did that all come about?
Our trumpet player, Brandon Ridenour, is quite a fine pianist as well as trumpet player. And he worked with our other trumpet player. The two of them, between them, made the arrangements. So they had a piano bass, B-A-S-E, in mind when they approached this. So the arrangements are true to Schumann's wishes, for sure. And with instruments, of course, we can bring out aspects in talking to our friends. And, of course, we have dozens of pianist friends that we are very, stayed very close in touch to make sure that we were on the right track. And each of them felt that there were lines coming through that you wouldn't necessarily hear so clearly on the keyboard. Where with separate instruments, of course, it's quite easy to bring those out and make them, special or more attractive.
So you improved on Schumann? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't be so bold to say that, but it certainly is an authentic. We look at it sort of like maybe like viewing a statue, where one view of it, in this case, the piano, would be one view. But then you can maybe walk around, you can take a look from different angles. So brass gives you a little different view of this very wonderful work, these wonderful works.
The entire work has 22 sections. Only 20 of them are numbered. But each one describes something. This next segment we will listen to describes the mood of the composer. So we hear something called Eusebius, which depicts the composer's calm, deliberate side. Then we hear something called Florestan, and that's supposed to be his fiery, impetuous side. And then we hear something called Coquette, which is self-explanatory, depicting a flirtatious girl. And then a Réplique, which is a reply to the Coquette. Here they are, performed by the Canadian Brass. From Robert Schumann's larger work, Carnival, we've heard the next four movements. Eusebius, which depicts the composer's calm, deliberate side. Florestan, Passionato, he says, depicting the composer's fiery and impetuous side. And I believe that there is a main waltz theme that is quoted by Schumann from an earlier work of his, which is well known, called Papillon. Coquette, which depicts a flirtatious girl. And then Réplique, which is a reply to that Coquette, all performed by the Canadian Brass. Well, it's as I said, it's really breathtaking when you turn the, you put the turntable on and you play this thing, and this marvelous, deep, rich, beautiful sound comes out. It's so very different. I mean, and of course you chose. Well, you know, two of the major works of Robert Schumann. I mean, those are monumental works that he did, and very, very demanding as well, technically. But it's a whole different concept, I would imagine. I mean, you're talking about a keyboard, and then you're talking about blowing through a mouthpiece, and I would imagine that physically there is. It's much harder, like, to play a fast scale or something, you know. Yeah, how do you do that? I mean,
it's sort of, you know, I sort of refer to it as the golden age of brass. We now have young players. When we started out in 1970, there was no real path to follow. There was an orchestra tradition. Brass instruments were invented. The valve was invented in the 1800s, which put us right into the back of the orchestra in the big Romantic era. So we missed the chamber music start. So this is something that we've needed to bring to the art form. And now kids have grown up with Canadian brass playing things like Toccata and Fugue and so forth. And they just think this is normal, and they're taking it now the next steps. So really the young players in the Canadian brass at this stage, it's a whole new world. It's another level.
I'm also fascinated with the trombonist, because I know that's really, really very difficult with the slide. I know some of the English bands, they have valve trombones, but with a slide, I mean, isn't that's you got to be sliding all over the place.
In all modesty, we probably have the finest trombone player in the world. Achilles.
It's just fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just in another league.
Achilles, yeah. Liar Makopoulos.
Yes, he's a Greek national. He'd come to the United States as a young boy, finished high school in California, and then went successively to the San Francisco Conservatory, did a four-year program in three, went to Curtis, did a three-year program in two, and then got a master's degree in Yale and joined us. I mean, how lucky could we be?
Well, I was going to say, why did he choose you? Because he could have probably had his pick of any orchestra that he wanted.
Well, by luck, he grew up, he said his inspiration for starting trombone over in Greece was hearing recordings of Canadian brass.
Oh, my goodness. And certainly that you weren't playing Schumann at that time.
Not yet.
Maybe he had a terrific sense of humor.
He's a very, very wonderful talent and personality. So surely all this comes together to make, he was the perfect candidate for joining us.
Now, who, you're only the only original one, is that right? From the old bunch, is that right?
Yes.
In terms of just age and longevity, I guess.
Right.
We've been listening to the transcription of Robert Schumann's Carnival for the Canadian Brass. Our guest today here on Crossover, we just heard the final march of the Davidsbündler against the Philistines. Members of the Canadian Brass are Christopher Coletti, B-flat trumpet, E-flat trumpet, piccolo trumpet, and flugelhorn, Brandon Ridenour, B-flat trumpet, piccolo trumpet, and flugelhorn, Caleb Hudson, additional piccolo trumpet and B-flat trumpet, Eric Reed horn, Achilles Liarmakopoulos trombone and baritone horn, and Chuck Dallenbach tuba. How long have you had this ensemble together? It's several years now, isn't it?
The trumpets, the newest trumpet is very new to us. Caleb Hudson comes to us from the Juilliard School and was doing the Carnegie Juilliard program.
Okay.
And we discovered him, of course, just by talking to other musicians. We heard all about Caleb, and then we turned on a Brandenburg concerto.
Oh, my.
On the YouTube. And,
with the high, oh, my goodness, piccolo trumpet, right?
And we heard a flawless live performance that was just a knockout. We said, okay, we have to contact Caleb.
Really? Now, what is your season, actually? Are you still giving concerts, or did you take time out to do this recording? How did that work?
Well, our season has always been kind of an open season. We're touring at any given time of the year. We've never been fussy about taking this particular time off or that. But when we get to a recording project, we do cordon off a major space of time. Something like Schumann, we all had the parts well in advance to learn our own parts. And then as a group, we spent easily a month of hard labor before turning on the microphones.
Okay, hard labor, that's right. Okay.
Right.
Well, what I was wondering about was, I see that the label is opening day, but I thought it was also the Steinway & Sons that had contributed to some of this recording. Is that right?
Well, yes. Well, by another stroke of good luck, we have an indie, so-called indie label in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small classical label that we took on about 10 years ago. We have maybe a dozen artists, Canadian, mostly Canadian artists, and we get some nice, generous help from the Factor in Canada, which is an unusual support for Canadian talent.
Yes.
And then we have very good friends at the Archive Music Company, which is now arguably one of the two major sources for classical music.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Source system is slipping. So Archive really is our... We're working in conjunction with Archive, and they started the Steinway label. So we became the first non-piano attraction on the Steinway label, and we're quite proud to be. It's kind of like the stamp of good housekeeping to have the Steinway label on a brass album.
I was just going to say, I mean, people are probably saying, are they playing piano these days? You know, exactly. But knowing the Canadian brass, you never really know. I mean, I have to tell you, you're always there with a surprise. So, Chuck, you're still, you know, riding high, and you're in charge of everything, and it's really quite exciting. I have to say that the sound is exquisite. It's just so rich and so beautiful and so clean. It's really going to be a tremendous, I think, hit. And people will say, "What do you mean they're playing Carnival?" You know, and right. And then Kindersane. And I mean, you know, it's just amazing. But the music is quite beautiful, isn't it?
You know, it's gorgeous music, and the Kindertainen has been on my mind since way back when, listening to Horowitz,
kind
of in a Russian concert, and it was so touching, and realizing that it's not children music. It took me a while to make that turn of realization. It's not children music. It's
hardly,
recollection, and it's just such wonderful music. And for us to be able to dig into music of this quality, it's just such an honor.
You just answered my question, because this is a different experience for you, I think, because you're used to playing, I think, as instruments, separate instruments. You're used to playing parts, you know, and this is all one whole entity in itself for a pianist to sit down with two hands and play these. It's not chordal necessarily, but it's all one. And so it is a new experience, isn't it?
And the rhythmic twists of Schumann are so captivating, so interesting. And often they are played off one hand against the other, where you're a single brain can make that work very, very nicely. And suddenly we're doing this against each other, and it causes such an interesting puzzle to solve.
Well, intellectually, I think it's a whole other world for you.
It certainly took us into a different thought process and a different rehearsal technique of refining those inner, really the fascination of the inner conflict, and the way that Schumann constructs his music gives you such great opportunity to bring out the unusual in the music.
Yes, you have a chordal structure, but you also got a single line structure there in piano music. And I guess that's the hard part, because playing ensemble is natural to you.
Right. Well, it's very deceptive at first. It seems very straightforward. And then when you start taking it apart, you realize that it's sometimes very upside down and very very unusual way to put these lines together. So that is the challenge and really the fun, the musical fun of putting it together.
Well, I'm glad you're calling it fun, because it's really phenomenal. So then this now is available, and it's Canadian Brass Carnival. And are you now the label again is it the opening day? Is that the label?
Yes.
And this is available how?
Well, it's all the traditional ways. I think if you find a store, it should be in it. And, of course, the usual archivemusic.com is a great source. And then canadianbrass.com, of course, is a quick way. And hopefully people will come to our concert and find the recording there as well. So
now tell us a little bit about your concert schedule. I'm speaking to you, and you're in Japan. What is your itinerary like?
Well, we have quite a year. We're in Asia three times this year. And at the end of August, we'll be in Europe playing festivals in Germany and Italy. So the schedule goes on unabated. We're having, I sort of have to pinch myself and keep thinking, you know, as you point out, I'm a brass player. How did this happen?
and you must have a very, very red lips. I keep thinking of the circle around the lips, especially with the tuba mouthpiece. So,
well, I've been told soft lips. It's okay.
Oh well, I won't even go there. But that's lovely. So now, are you going to be appearing in the States anywhere near Philadelphia?
Let's see. You put me right on the spot here. First, well, we're in New York. That's not too far away.
No. Okay.
December, we'll definitely be.
December, and you're going to be, where are you playing?
I think it's Lincoln Center that we're doing something. So I'll keep you apprised.
Please do that, Chuck. And will you be doing anything from this album in your performances?
Yes. Yes.
Only this album?
No, we've put together a nice set of pieces that we are playing on concert. I don't know if we'll ever have the opportunity, just because the way concerts are put together these days, of doing a complete Schumann concert, but that would be something. That would be fun.
Then they'd pick you up off the floor, I think.
Right.
Now, what do you wear? What's your outfit when you play Schumann?
Oh, we have very smart suits. We are a designer from England. We've discovered now that seems to fit all of our different body types. We're just wearing nice, dark, very dark blue suits.
Nothing striped and no red sneakers.
Well, we still have, you know, the white sneakers are never going to go away. They're too comfortable. They're absolutely too comfortable.
Well, it's very chic now to have colored sneakers, though. So I think you were way ahead of the times.
And former President George Bush apparently picked up on our wearing striped and colorful socks. So there you go.
Yes. Well, you're trend-setting in many, many ways, Chuck, and it's just exciting to hear this. So please keep us posted about anything that you do, and if you perhaps we'll get a chance to catch you in Manhattan. But it doesn't look like you're going to be coming around Philadelphia for a while, right?
Well, Jill, your take on this recording is coming from you. This is such a high praise, high honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, it's a joy to have this quality of performance. And, you know, your reputation has preceded you, but you've changed your reputation, which is really quite exciting. And it's also very revealing about the great musicianship that you have, all of you, this ensemble. It's not funny anymore. Even funny was hard, but this is really it's really beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I have to go out and get a new hat now. My head's
That's right. Well, you wear it on stage as well. Okay, well, keep us posted, all right, Chuck?
Well, thank you so much.
And best to all of you, you're marvelous musicians. It is really a gorgeous album and something to be very, very proud of. And we look forward to the next one.
Well, thank you. This is so a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks again, Chuck.
Okay. Thanks, Jill.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've been speaking with Chuck Dallenbach, tuba player and one of the original founders of the Great Canadian Brass, who have just released a new album of music by Robert Schumann, Carnival, and what we listen to now, Kinderscenen. We've just heard Kinderscenen, a work originally written for piano by Robert Schumann and transcribed for brass ensemble. This is from the newest release by the Canadian Brass entitled Carnival. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.